If you have your Bibles, if you would open to Mark chapter 1, we're going to start looking at verse 16. And if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up on the screens, or if you have your phones, it's in the Bible app. But before we read the passage, I want to just do something with you very quickly. I want to mention a name, and I want you to tell me if you recognize the name. Okay? You ready? And if you do, you don't get a prize. So Edward Kimball. Anybody know that name? No? Do it again. You must be over 60. Okay. Barely over 60. So it's not nice to lie in church. Anyhow, Edward Kimball. Anybody else want to take a shot? Okay. Well, that was Richard Kimball. That was Richard Kimball, but close. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher. We have Sunday school teachers in and among us this morning, okay? He was what we would call, and what most Sunday school teachers are, passionate for their children. He taught a high school group. He had one young man in the high school group who was oppositional. And we don't know anybody like that, right? He was oppositional, and he came to class only because his parents forced him to be there. And he wouldn't, you know, he would not listen, daydream and all. And Edward did the best job he could in engaging him. But this young man was 17 years old, and he worked at a shoe store. And he was so burdened for this young man, he showed up at the shoe store and asked his boss if he could talk with him. And he went in the stock room, and he said to this young man, this young 17-year-old, "I am really concerned for you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Won't you embrace him?" Something happened in that moment where this young man felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, repented of his sin, and embraced Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. That young man turned out to be D.L. Moody. Now, you've all heard of D.L. Moody, correct? But we're not, for a Sunday school teacher, an ordinary person who chose to love this oppositional young man. Maybe we would never heard of D.L. Moody. I don't know. That was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody then, you know, he went on for training, became a famous evangelist. He established Moody School, Moody Bible School, which is still in existence out in Chicago. And in his meetings, there was another young man by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman. Anybody recognize that name? J. Wilbur Chapman was an influential businessman, a hardworking businessman. And at that meeting, J. Wilbur Chapman was converted to Jesus Christ, gave his life to Christ. This was a businessman who said that he had no need of Jesus initially. But God started to work on him. And in this meeting, D.L. Moody, who was not an eloquent speaker, by the way, he was powerful, but not elegant. One of the biggest critics, and you can picture, you know, excuse the expression, some of the snobby Christians there saying, "Mr. Moody, you know, you don't use good grammar," which was an accusation a lot. But God chose this man who didn't speak all that well to be a powerful evangelist. J. Wilbur Chapman came to know Christ, and then J. Wilbur Chapman, as he grew in Christ, started to have evangelistic meetings of his own. And into one of those meetings came a baseball pitcher by the name of Billy Sunday. How many of you ever heard of Billy Sunday? How many of you are old enough to have seen him play? Oh, good. Okay. Billy Sunday, baseball pitcher, comes to Christ. And God leads him to share the gospel with others, and he becomes an evangelist. At one of his meetings was a man by the name of Mordecai Ham. How would you like to have the name Mordecai? And the last name of Ham. But same scenario. This man, Mordecai Ham, again, a businessman, comes to Christ, and he starts to have meetings where he's preaching the gospel, and this young teen by the name of Billy Graham happens to be in one of those meetings. Billy Graham, by his own profession and his own confession, said he went to the meeting as a rebel rouser. By his own admission. He was just going to go. He wanted to see all this fuss that was happening. He was going to go kind of as a heckler, you know, whenever see what these crazy people were doing. And God got a hold of Billy Graham at that meeting. And the rest was history. Of course, we just lost a great man, having gained a great saint in Billy Graham. But it started with ordinary people. By the way, Billy Graham was working on a farm, his parents' farm, and wasn't any special shakes. He was a teenager growing up, a hardworking family, a family that was not especially scholars or anything like that. Ordinary people. But it started with a Sunday school teacher. The reason why I tell you this is because I want you to know this morning that God still calls ordinary people to do incredible things. Yeah, he may not call you to be an evangelist in 10 minutes. He may, okay? Whatever he calls you to do, I will tell you this, that as we are lovingly obedient to the call God puts on our life, he will do great things in and through us, not for our glory, but for his glory. And these were men who were obedient to God's call, ordinary people. D.L. Moody may have remained a shoe salesman. I don't know. But Edward Kimball changed the course of his life. Actually, God did. A Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teachers, this should really be an encouragement to you, because if you ever think you're not making a difference, you are. You just don't know it. You know? We sing one of the Brooklyn Tabernacle songs, God is Working. And as long as the word of God goes out and never comes back void, that's a promise from Isaiah. So we don't know when, we can plant a seed, but we don't know what will happen with that seed. God knows. And we may be surprised down the road in how we may have influenced people. We don't even know it. You know, the young person in Sunday school who comes kicking and screaming, the ones who hide under the table in Sunday school, you know, the high schoolers and the college kids who rather play on their phone than hear the teacher drone on or something. You never know. Let me give you one more instance from experience. Many years ago, I was a deacon in the church, and occasionally I'd fill in for the pastor when he was away. And we had this older woman in the congregation, and she sat right there, right where Si was sitting. We had pews back then. And she come in. And when I say older, she was in her early 80s back then. Can I say older for 80 or early 80s? And she, from the moment she sat down, she closed her eyes. And I thought she slept through the whole service. I have to confess that. I thought, and she was one of the nicest ladies you would ever want to meet. So I was filling in for the pastor. After the service, I thought I would have fun with her, right? She comes out, she says, "Pastor, really good message today." And I said, "What did I say?" She told me everything. She told me everything. And she looks at me. She has this smirk on her face. She says, "And you thought I was sleeping." And I did. But you never know how the word of God can penetrate. You never, ever know. I want to look with you this morning at this passage in Mark, and I want to drive home the truth that God calls ordinary people, hardworking, ordinary people like me, like you, to do great things for the kingdom of God. And so Let's go to the passage in Mark. I don't know what I did with the clicker. Here it is. Oh, maybe not. You got it? I don't know what I did with it. Anyhow, here we go. Read this along with me. It's just four verses. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother casting a net into the lake, for they were, well, who were they?
Fishermen.
Okay. They. I want you to note that. Jesus, very short and direct, says what? Come follow me, and I will make you out to fish for people. Whoa. Well, some translations say men, right? But people. Go ahead and continue. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Next. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left the father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man. And what did they do? Followed him. Is there another verse? I don't. Okay, that's it. Short little paragraph, correct? But powerful. Powerful. Now, you know, first of all, to be a disciple of someone means to be a follower and a learner. Okay? It's possible to follow somebody without being a learner, isn't it? Okay? You know what the definition of that is? A stalker. Really, that's a stalker. You follow somebody and you're not learning from them. I mean, all you're doing is being a stalker. But a disciple is somebody who follows them and is willing to learn from them. Now, it's obvious that these men knew about Jesus. They knew that he was doing stuff around and was something special about him. And first thing I want you to notice that as Jesus was just walking along, in the original language it says he was just kind of casually walking alongside a lake, he spots the first two. Right? He spots the first two. And he says, come follow me. Come follow me. This is Andrew and Simon. Who was Simon? Who? Peter. Okay? Andrew and Simon, they were brothers. He says, come follow me. Something attracted them to Jesus. Come follow me. That word follow is incredibly important. How many of you have ever raised a puppy? Okay. What do puppies tend to do? Follow you. Everywhere you go. They're kind of like right underfoot, right? They will follow you. In the original language, this word for follow means this. And this is the way that these men, all four of them, would have heard it. Come follow me. Literally means I want you to follow in my footsteps. I want you to follow in my footsteps. I'll lead the way, but I want you to follow in my footsteps. As you follow in my footsteps, as we walk together, as we talk together, I'm going to teach you things you need to know so that one day you will become what? Fishers of people, men and women, right? So that one day, yeah. I said in the beginning that God doesn't call everybody to be an evangelist like Billy Graham, right? Or D.L. Moody, and that's true. But that doesn't excuse us from sharing the gospel. And I hear that from Christians all the time. You know, how come you don't share the gospel? I don't have the gift of evangelism, baloney. We're all commissioned to share the gospel, okay? And we're all commissioned to be disciples. We are commissioned to be disciples who follow Christ, who follow by faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in his footsteps. Let me tell you, those are some big steps to fill. And we can't do it on our own. Because as we follow Jesus around and walk with him, we see, as we sang in that song, give me your eyes. Give me your eyes to see the hurting. Give me your eyes to see the disenfranchised. Give me your eyes to see those who are needy. Let me see them as you see them. And as these men walked with Jesus, he saw Jesus love the unlovable. He saw Jesus reach out to the outcasts of society. Society didn't want anything to do with them. The religious people didn't want anything to do with them. And Jesus reaches out to them. When you follow Jesus, it's not being part of a holy club. It's part of knowing that you have a heart for people. And in that heart for people, you're going to love them with the love of Christ, just as you saw Jesus doing it. Just as he reached out, not only to the disenfranchised, but consider this. Women in that society were considered property. Do you know that? They were considered property. And as you go through the Gospels and you see how Jesus ministered to women, I've heard people say, you know, Jesus was sexist, he was this, he was that. And I'm saying, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. When you see Jesus ministering to the woman at the well, when you see Jesus ministering to the woman who touched his garment, who was bleeding, when you see Jesus actively talking to a woman in public, what he was doing was saying, I don't care what the Pharisees say. I don't care what the culture says. These are hurting people who need to be loved, who need a loving touch. And they can say whatever they want. And he elevated the status of women. Isn't that true? We miss that, don't we? Because we live in a different culture and a different time. He elevated the status of women. How did he do that? Well, a lot of people who will come to the Bible and the teachings of the Gospels will come to the points we love to pick and choose. And that's a shame. Because we'll pick and choose stuff we like and then we'll pick on stuff we don't like. When Jesus talks about divorce and he says that God hates divorce, that's the truth. Okay? And he says, because of the hardness of people's hearts, Moses permitted it, God permitted it. But Jesus then qualifies it and says there's only a few good reasons for divorce as a last resort. Okay? And what he did back then, people in today's day and age will look and say, well, gee, you see that? He's a guy. You know, no. Back then, if your husband divorced you, and back then, you could be divorced for burning a meal. That's the truth. If your husband divorced you, wait. We have some confessions here today. Culturally, they could do that. All right. What Jesus was saying is this: in that culture, if a woman was divorced, she was done. She was lost. Nobody wanted to bother with her. She had no income. There was no such thing as child support or alimony. And Jesus is saying, men, this is wrong. Love your wives. Love your wives. Learn to love them. Cherish them. Honor them. And he raised them up. Part of discipleship and living in step with Christ is to see people as how Christ saw them. Their need, their hurt, and to minister to them in love at the point of their need. This was an incredible journey. I want you to notice that these men were fishermen. How many of you are fishermen? It's a few, okay? What I know about fishermen is that when they come in from fishing, they smell. That's all I know. I do my fishing at ShopRite. But that's all I know. You smell. I mean, these were hard-working, ordinary people that Jesus called in the course of their work. And I really hesitated about preaching this morning, only because of this. We think we come to church and God can work this way. You know, you may hear him call you to do something. I hope he does. However, most times when Jesus calls people, it's in the course of their normal work. That's how he called the prophets. That's how he's calling them. These guys were hardworking fishermen. The other thing I know about fishermen, too, is they were probably rude and crude. Language probably wasn't the best. probably made some off-color jokes. That didn't stop Jesus. Because Jesus knew what they could become as he walked with them. Any more confessions here? I mean, I'm hearing these snickers over here. But thank God for that. All right? The other analogy about fishing I think is important here. If I'm reading into this, forgive me. But one of the things I respected about Billy Graham when he did his crusades, he was very, very clear when he gave the invitation to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Come as you are. Right? Just as I am. Without one plea. Come as you are. Because here's the excuses I've gotten over the years. Well, I got to clean myself up first. No, you can't clean yourself up. You can't do it. It's impossible. When a fisherman catches a fish, if he's going to eat that fish, what does he have to do? He's got to clean it up, right? Here's the way God works. He says, you come as you are. You submit to his word, his Holy Spirit, and he'll clean you up. You come just as you are. As rude and crude, I was, were you? As rude and crude, you come just as you are. But discipleship means you're going to start that journey of learning. And you're going to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And as you do, you find little by little, in baby steps, you're becoming more like Jesus over time. You're becoming more like Jesus over time. And then one day you look back, maybe a year or 2 years, and you say, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. And that's by the grace of God. Solely by the grace of God. Abraham Lincoln wrote this. God must love common people. He made so many of them. Did you catch that? You awake? God must love common people. He made so many of them. Abraham Lincoln was just a common guy. We call him one of our greatest presidents. Went through a lot. Ultimately assassinated, probably for being a good president. Jesus calls everyday people in their everyday journey. Jesus was walking along that lake, and people were involved in the mundane things of life. You see, Jesus can see potential in everyday common people. He can. A farm worker from North Carolina. A shoe salesman and a stock boy by the name of D.L. Moody, a Sunday school teacher. There is no calling in the church that's any more important or less important. As we are obedient to the call that God has placed on our lives and we walk with him in discipleship, then God can do great things in and through us. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for the disciples, was it? But it was the best. My fear is that when we ignore the call for discipleship, we miss the blessings. We miss God's blessings. How do we miss? What are the things that can deter us from the call of discipleship? Complacency? Discouragement? Schedules that are so busy and undisciplined, we have time for nothing, especially God. I mean, there's a number of things, and Satan just keeps there and smiles. And first of all, Satan doesn't want people to come to know Christ. We know that. But if they do come to know Christ, the best thing that he wants them to do is nothing. Nothing. If we were doing what God wants us to do, the church would be an unstoppable force. Not because I'm the pastor, not because anybody else is the pastor, but because Christ is the head of the church. And that's empowered by his word and his Holy Spirit. Notice these men were hardworking. They were not college graduates, seminary students. They were doing their work, but there was an attraction to Jesus. I want to also let you know this. Jesus offers them an opportunity to be proactive, to become part of something bigger. I want you to listen closely to this. the boomer generation, the generations that followed the boomer, we did enough damage in raising our kids. I'm going to tell you something that is a fact. Whether it's millennials or Generation X, their deepest desire is to become part of something bigger than themselves. They really desire that. They just don't know who to trust at this point. And Jesus gives the opportunity for everyone, no matter what your age, to become part of something bigger than yourselves. What can be better than being part of the work of the kingdom of God? Whatever that capacity is, whether you sing, whether you're a Bible teacher, whether you are a leader in the church, what could be better than that? To be an obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Billy Graham was asked in an interview by Sean Hannity, I believe it was 2006 or 2007, if he had it to do over again, what would he do differently? And if I recall the interview correctly, there were two things I remember. He said he would speak less and study more. Study the scripture more, he says, because the treasures that are in there are invaluable. The second thing he said he would do was he would tell Jesus how much he loved them more. And that only comes from a man who walked with integrity, not perfect, but a man that walked with integrity and walked closely with God in discipleship. It's a lifetime journey. This requires commitment, an investment of time, talent, and treasure, sacrifice for the sake of God's kingdom. Then we will be able to say God has made us fishers of people. It's a lifelong journey. We want instant results, don't we? How many of you go to a gym? Okay, that's a good thing. You go to a gym, you stay in shape. But how many go to a gym one day and the first time you're in a gym, you maybe should work out maybe 15, 20 minutes. Otherwise, you're going to kill yourself, right? You got to work into it. And I've known people who have gone to gyms and worked out for 2 hours thinking the next day they're going to work, wake up thinner. And it doesn't work that way. We want instant results. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that knows nothing about delaying gratification anymore, and it knows nothing about working towards a goal, working towards hard work, doing the hard work to get someplace because we want instant results. Let me tell you something. A journey with Jesus is lifelong. It is lifelong. The results will not be instant, but they'll be good. And the reason why they will be good is because they won't be superficial. They will take deep root because in that journey, God will change us through the Spirit and through the Word from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's a lifelong journey. It takes commitment. You also need to be a lifelong learner. I am sure when Dr. Graham closed his eyes on this earth and met his Savior in heaven, the first words he heard was, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is the end of discipleship. To finish this life well. Again, we're not perfect, but to finish this life well. And hear your Savior, my Savior, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what we're going to do? We're going to come back and say, "Lord, it wasn't me. It was because of you. Because of you." You see, Jesus' call requires a response. We either say yes, or we say no, or we ignore it. Let me just say, if you ignore it, you're still saying no. What I would like to do, very quickly, if you indulge me for a moment, I want to show you a quick video. This is a video of a man that some of you know. And he was not just an ordinary man, but he was born with a severe challenge. Severe challenge. And People, even some of his family, wrote him off. Said he would never amount to much because of this challenge. Well, one evening at an evening service, his mother took him to hear the preacher. He received Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And at that service, he says, in that still small voice, he heard Jesus say, David, you're going to bring people to the Lord. And he's saying, I can't even speak. So would you just watch this, please? Can you turn the lights on?